I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. I really do. I've been looking on Facebook and on Instagram, seeing a lot of pictures of people with family, being in pajamas, being nice and comfortable, eating good food, opening great presents. But hopefully that's not what Christmas was all about. We've been trying as a church to get our focus in the right place. In the 9:15 hour, they've been doing a family study. And that family study, they've been focusing in on what Advent is all about, what the Christmas story is all about. Up here in the main service, Lynn has been going through a series called The Best Christmas Ever. And he's taught a lot of lessons, and Jay has too. And it started with Jesus' birth being the best time ever, as Jay shared with us. That was the best time ever. God set a specific time in motion when Jesus came to this earth to be born as a baby. It wasn't by accident. It was also the best gift ever, and it still is, and it always will be. The best gift that was ever given to you and all the people around you was in Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift for everyone to open as they please. We also learned that it's the best reason ever. Jesus came for the best reason ever, to live his perfect life so that his death and resurrection would be forgiveness for you today. Then last week, Lynn shared that God is with us forever. Christmas season is the best for those reasons. Not because of the presents, which is what we make it out to be. Now, I'm not saying that presents are bad. I think opening presents is a lot of fun. How many of you kids had a great time opening presents on Christmas? Awesome. That's awesome. We're glad to see that. And I can tell you, as parents, as grandparents, as friends, when we give you a gift that makes you happy, it pleases our soul as well, does it not? But let me ask you this question. Have you ever received a gift that you didn't really want? Uh-huh. Quite a few of you. It's happened to me. I remember as a child, well, let's get to that in a minute. Let me start here. I have a few people that I've read about that received some really weird gifts. I'm going to share them with you. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Here's what one lady says. She said, one year, my father gave mom a DVD. In and of itself, it wasn't a bad gift, except A, it was a rental, and B, we don't even own a DVD player. Not a great gift. This other lady says, when I was 7, I unwrapped the biggest gift first, and I saw the box for a dustbuster. Now, I don't know how it works in your home, but I know in ours, sometimes we use boxes just because something fits in it, and you open it up to find something new. Well, that's not what happened to this person. She opened it up to reveal a dustbuster. Now, kids, you may not know what a dustbuster is. It's a little handheld vacuum, okay? Guess what it was for? To clean the stairs better. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. Another gentleman said, I received a book on Chinese culture that was written in Chinese. All right. Need an interpreter for that one. Another person said, one year my grandma gave everyone a framed photo of herself. Merry Christmas, kids. You see, receiving Christmas presents can be a lot of fun. It really can be. But sometimes we get a gift and it's like, I didn't really want that. Didn't really care for it. Let me tell you, when I was a kid, I remember that moment. I remember walking down to the tree. I would sit at the top of the steps just waiting for Mom and Dad to say, okay, it's time. Come on down. And I would run down the steps and I would see all these gifts. My jaw would drop. I would salivate. I would drool all over the floor. And I would look for the biggest gift. What's the biggest gift that I got? And that was always the excitement. But I remember as I was opening my action figures, as I was opening my video games and my cool Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle house that you could put slime in the top and it oozed down, I remember dreading the box that was about this thin, about a couple inches thin, and it was rectangular. What was inside that box? Anybody know? Clothes. Kids, do you like getting clothes for Christmas? Okay, mixed emotions. Parents, we know that it's needed, okay? They can't wear their sweater that they wore last year. It has holes in it, smells like body odor, and it's way too small now because we've washed it 17 times, right? So we get them things that they need. But I remember as a kid being like, ugh, clothes, I don't want that. Well, I have found in my adulthood That one way for me to overcome that is I get into Christmas time and I don't expect anything. And I don't do that to be naive. I do that to say to myself, you know what? Whatever I get, I'm going to be grateful for. And that happened for most of Christmas. Well, I want to talk about gifts this morning. And not just the gifts under our tree, but I want us to go to our account in Matthew chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can open there. I'm going to share it on the screen as well, so you can read along with us. By the way, I've been, diagnosed with, bronchopneumonia, okay? This hit me the other day. I had a fever, hit me really hard. I sweated through the night about 3 hours. It finally broke. Then my body was achy. Went to the doctor yesterday, and he says, I have bronchopneumonia. So my voice doesn't sound like it normally does. That's why. So thank you for bearing with me. So let's talk about gifts for Jesus. Not the gifts that we open under the tree, but gifts for Jesus. We find this account in Matthew chapter 2. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, most of us know at least a little bit about the Magi. Now, the Magi are also called the wise men or the kings. Okay, and then it can be described as such. But instead of giving you a complete background about who these people are, I want you to understand that these are men that people in the ancient world, including kings, would come to for advice. There were people that could interpret dreams or interpret the stars. And they would consult these men to be able to decipher what they're seeing. So these men truly were wise. And we even see the Magi in the Old Testament. We see them in the book of Daniel and the book of Esther. Now, being astrologers, or people that study the stars, we're not surprised to see the Magi in this story following a star. And they understood that this star was an important part of prophecy. And you can see this prophecy in Numbers chapter 24. It says, a star shall come forth from Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth. Now these wise men knew that this star was not just kind of a random happenstance. They knew that this star meant something more. They knew that if they followed it, they would find the Messiah, the promised king from the line of David that was sent to redeem God's people. They were wise. They knew what was going on. So they prepared themselves and they packed everything that they could for this journey, because it was going to be a few months long in order to get to Bethlehem. And with them, they packed some gifts. And it's those gifts that I want to unpack this morning. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 2, 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, hold that up on the screen for a minute, because I think we get to a point at Christmas where we just burst in the door and we're so excited to see each other and to open presents or to eat food that we jump right into it. Do you see the difference between what we do and what the Magi do in this story? What is the first thing that they do? Kids, what's the first thing that the Magi do when they see Jesus? No, good guess. They worship him. You see that? The first thing that they do when they get to Jesus, not open their gifts, but they worship him. They understand who Jesus is, and they recognize that, and they put him first. Now, after worshiping him, they open presents. They gave him gifts. And it's these three gifts that I would like to talk about this morning. And they each bear significance. So the first gift is gold. Now, we're not too surprised to see this on the top of the list as a gift for a king, because it's still a good gift for a king or your queen. The gift of gold. Now, gold is a precious commodity. It's expensive. It's rare. And those who receive the gift of gold, I mean, it's truly a good gift. It's something that somebody spent a good amount of money on for you. It's a considerable gift. Gold is a rare and precious metal. It's hard to find. That's one thing that makes it expensive. It's used for a lot of different things in society. It's used as currency. It's used as fine jewelry. It's used in dentistry. It's used in electronics and computers. It's even used in aerospace technology. Pretty cool. Some of our spaceships have a lot of items in it that are made out of gold. It's even given the letters, let me say this. How many of you play sports? Yeah? Or played sports, okay? Adults are like, not anymore. These knees. If you played sports, one of the highest honors or prizes that you can receive is gold. You think of the Olympics and you think of these people that are getting first place and standing on the podium and holding their hearts as the national United States anthem plays, hopefully. And they reach and they grab their medal of gold. And what do they do to check and see if it's gold? I don't know how that works. I'll have to Google that later. They bite it to see if it's real gold. Okay, that's why they do that. Now, gold, science nerds over here maybe. I loved science. Gold is given the letters A, U on the scientific periodic table. Okay? Do you know where that comes from? I'm about to enlighten you. By the way, there's a place in the back of your program where you could take notes. Okay, so if I mention some things about gold that are pretty cool to you, something that you didn't know before, write them down there. The letters AU come from the Greek word aurum, A-U-R-U-M. Aurum in the Greek means glow of sunshine. Makes sense. When we look at gold, it has that glow of sunshine kind of color to it. It's also unique because it's malleable, it's ductile, it carries electricity very well. So there's a lot of uses for this precious metal called gold. But gold was also treasured in the Old Testament. The Bible says that Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish faith, he was rich in livestock, silver, and gold. That's what made him wealthy, having these three items. So gold plays a big factor when it comes to wealth. Those who had a good amount of gold were wealthy. They were rich. Gold is also mentioned in the Bible over 400 times. That's a lot. Most of it in some kind of monetary way. When God gave instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant, when God gave instructions to build the mercy seat, he told Moses to overlay it in gold. We even see when Solomon, who was the wisest king in history, erected the temple and the Holy of Holies. Do you remember what the Holy of Holies is? It's the place where God dwells in the temple. It's the place where God's presence was supposed to be in the temple. Read this passage with me in 1 Kings. It says, the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, 20 cubits in height. And he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar with cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across the front of the inner sanctuary. And he overlaid it with gold. He overlaid the whole house with gold until all the house was finished. Also, the whole altar, which was in the inner sanctuary, he overlaid with gold. So the high priest, the only person that could go into the Holy of Holies one day a year to see the place where God dwells, guess what they would see? A place covered in gold. This precious metal, this thing that's very expensive, is not just a good gift for a king because of its you know, accommodation in wealth and in money and in currency, but it's also a good gift for God himself. So when these wise men come bringing that gift of gold, it's not just to be something of monetary value, but to be of something that's the best of what we have. And it pleased God. The second gift recorded in Matthew chapter 2 is frankincense. Now, you don't have to show your hands, but how many of you could sit here right now and tell me what frankincense is? Probably not many of us. And I could tell you that it's not the doctor that brought the dead man to life. Right? That was Frankenstein, kids. Frankincense is an aromatic resin. And it comes from the bark of certain trees. So what they would do is they would go and they would chisel off some of this resin from the bark of the trees into little beads. And they would collect these beads and they would burn these beads and it would make a sweet aroma. Now today, people actually use frankincense. Are there any essential oil users in the house? I want to see hands this time. Essential oils, okay. A lot of you have. My wife does the same thing. Just the other night, she's like, put some of this behind your ear and on your knee and stand like this. I said, yes, ma'am. My voice is still hoarse, so. They can use frankincense for a few things. They can use it to relieve stress and to relieve pain. We also use it to treat dry skin and to take away wrinkles and skin marks, not skid marks, kids. Mom, can I have some frankincense? We also read about it in Old Testament times, frankincense was used. And it was used for a couple things. It was used as a sweet aroma and as an incense for God as well. Here's what it says in Exodus 30. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum. I don't know if I pronounced those correctly. Spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make an incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Holy. It was set apart. It was something that God wanted in his mixture of spices to be lifted up to him as a fragrant aroma. God was pleased by the smell of frankincense. So again, we have these three wise men. Well, not three, I'm sorry. These wise men, we don't know that it's three. We know that it's three gifts. Bringing gold for wealth and to kind of set apart. It's a gift that's also good for a deity. They bring frankincense, which is a sweet aroma, not just fit for a king, but fit for God himself. The third gift that they bring is called myrrh. Myrrh is another fragrance, and it's taken from the sap of native trees in the Near East. People use myrrh oil today as well. And that aids in skin allergies, athlete's foot, coughs, diarrhea, and other skin issues. Now, in the Old Testament, it was used as a spice. It was used in religious rituals. And it was also used, kids, this is a cool part, listen. It was used for embalming dead bodies. Ooh. Cool, yeah, for real. It could even be used as a perfume if you're smelling like death, all right? So you kids that are going through puberty, use some of that. They used myrrh when they prepared Jesus' body. Did you know that? Check out this scripture in John chapter 19. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and they bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. So it seems as though these wise men that traveled for months to visit this baby king knew what was going on. Or they're at least foreshadowing it. Maybe they didn't know what's going on, but God put everything in place to reveal exactly who Jesus was. As they bring the gold, as they bring the frankincense, as they bring the myrrh to this baby king. Pretty cool gifts. And they weren't put there just by happenstance. But I want us to fast forward to today. Because I don't know exactly what was running through the Magi's mind when they brought these gifts to this baby. I think that maybe they thought he was the coming Messiah, that he was this king that the Israelites were going to have, that were going to deliver them from oppression. But did they truly understand who Jesus was? Did they understand that he was the Son of God, or did God just set that up as a foreshadowing? My question to you today is, now that we understand who Jesus is, because we have the Bible, We know that Jesus lived this perfect life. We know about his ministry. We know about his miracles. We know about his death and his resurrection. We know everything about Jesus we need to know in order to follow him daily. So my question is, what gifts do we bring to Jesus? What gifts do we bring to Jesus? We may not have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we have things that we can give to Jesus on a daily basis. Now, there are a lot of ways that we could go this morning talking about gifts that we can give to Jesus, but I want to hone in on three different gifts. The first gift that I think we need to give every day, every moment of every day, is love. Sounds really basic, and it is. If we were to water down the scriptures, and if we were to water it down to one word, I think that we need to be full of love for God. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And this is how he replied. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, Jesus put love at the very top of the list. It's a priority. It's something that we need to have as Christians. And it's to be an unconditional, godly kind of love. It's not just this feeling of butterflies and bubbliness that you get when you see somebody you like. That's not the kind of love that God has for you. Thank you, God. God has a love that transcends everything, that lasts forever. We're to have that love for him first and to others as well. Now, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees in this moment, which is interesting because the Pharisees follow 613 different laws to try and be righteous before God. Kids, I want you to listen to this because I know at home you struggle because you have three rules. Keep your room clean, do what I tell you to do, and don't complain. I don't know what it is, but these Jews, these Pharisees, followed 613 different laws. Isaiah, I want you to remember that. Because when I give you three things to do, at least I'm not giving you 613. But these Pharisees followed them to try to be righteous before God. But I think Jesus is kind of digging the dagger into them. And I think he's saying, you know what? You might be doing things the way you think they're supposed to be done. But you know what you're not doing? You're not showing love. And I don't think we can sit here and pretend that we just point the finger at the Pharisees and say, oh, you terrible people. I think we can relate to the Pharisees. And I think this is why. When we go out into the world, one of the biggest things that I hear complaining about Christian people is that they're hypocritical, right? You've heard that argument before. And I think the biggest reason that people think that is because we tend to go out and we tend to judge the world. And we tend to point out their faults without showing love. And if we are holding people accountable in the attitude of love, then I think it shows a whole different story and side to Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be sharing with other people. Love is an essential gift for us to give to Jesus and to share with others. Another gift that we need to give to Jesus is our time. Now, time is valuable. Some say that time is money because that's the kind of emphasis that we put on time because we want to spend time doing what we want to do. I want to go home later and I want to take a nap. It's going to happen, I hope. Sometimes I want to go home and I just want to play some video games. I want to do what I want to do with my time because I'm not working right now, so I just want to relax and make my wife do everything around the house. That's what I want to do. Time is valuable. It's important to us because we know it's limited. Because I know that there's not a whole lot of free time that I get anymore, so I want to cherish it. I want to relish it. Here's how the Apostle Paul summarizes it. In Galatians chapter 2, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you become baptized into Jesus Christ and you come up out of the water, you are saying to God, I am going to give you everything. That includes your time. The time that you've been given is a gift from God, and it's something that you need to give back to him. Something that I need to give back to him. Now, I've shared this with you before because it's really discouraging to me as a Christian, not as a minister, not as someone that comes up here and preaches once in a while, but as a Christian, because I think we struggle with time giving to God. Because we come in here and we worship, maybe, for an hour or two on Sunday mornings, and then the rest of the week we say, God, I gave you my time. I went to church. I gave you my time. And we know that's wrong. I hope you know that's wrong, because God deserves so much more than that. So if all you're doing as a Christian is coming to church on Sunday morning, clocking in and clocking out and telling God you've given him everything that you've came to give this week, we're missing out. We're missing out on what God wants and deserves from us. And I'm not saying that to point the finger, because I've done it. And I can guarantee you that there have been weeks where I've come, even for my hour or two on Sunday morning, and I still haven't given to God. I may have been present, but I wasn't in his presence. It's challenging. So how can we give time to God on a daily basis? You don't have to come to this church building to give God your time, because you are the temple of God. God lives inside of you. You are the dwelling place for God. So everything that you do is supposed to be for his glory. Find time to pray. Find time to be alone with God, to talk to him, to read your Bible, to go through devotions in the morning, to set time away from your day, from the busyness of life, to honor him. That's what you need to do. Give God your time. The last gift that I want us to think about in giving Jesus is your gifts and your talents. Now, this whole morning we've been talking about gifts. Just like God has given you your time, he has also given you your gifts and your abilities. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 4. Each of you should use whatever gift you have, whatever gift you have received, to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. The scripture shows us that whatever we do, we are to do it for God. Do it to honor God. If we follow through with loving God, as we mentioned earlier, if we follow through with that and we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, then these things come about more naturally, to give back to God. And to let our gifts be pleasing to him. And that includes, again, whatever talents and abilities that you have. Now, some of you older folks hopefully know the abilities, the things that God has blessed you with that you can use for his glory. I remember being a young person and struggling with that. I remember being around 10, 11 years old, and I like to make people laugh. I like to be the center of attention. I like it. I have this innate sense to be in front of everyone and have them look at me and fill them with happiness. When I was young, I used to kind of think that that was a bad thing. But I've learned over time that that's actually something that God has given to me. It is a gift. And I figured out how to use that for his glory. Because at first, when I was young, it was about me. It was all about me. Hey, look at me. Laugh at me or with me, hopefully. And it has now turned into I realize that that comes from joy and peace in Jesus Christ. That's where my happiness comes from. And my joy is eternal. And I want to share that joy with other people. I've learned that in my job. If you don't know, I work at Button, which is a dealership here in town. And I work in the service department. That means when people have a $50,000 truck that doesn't work, they yell at me. And I have to have joy and peace that is much deeper than the place that I work. And I want to be able to have infectious joy so that other people can experience it as well. That's how I try to use that gift that God has given me. You know, I found it interesting and humbling. Yesterday when I went to Med One and I saw the doctor for a brief moment, and he liked to talk, so I hardly got a word in edgewise. It was like talking to my wife. God love you. I love you. He did all the talking, and it was fine. And at the end, you know, I was like, hey, thank you so much for your time, because I want to get all the stuff in my system so that I can preach on Sunday. And I didn't do it in a, like, come look at me and look who I am, or I want to share Jesus with you. It was just kind of all in the moment thing. And he looked at me and smiled, and he said, you know, I had this sense about you. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? He said, for some reason, I could tell that you were a minister. And I didn't do anything special. I was just being me. I was just smiling and, you know, appreciative of what he's doing for me. And that rubbed off on him somehow. And hopefully in that moment, he could see Jesus living in me. So folks, I'm not here to tell you I'm doing everything right, because I'm not. But if we can learn how to use those talents and abilities that God has given us for his glory, that's what we're called to do. And each of you have a gift and a talent to use for him. It might not be up here preaching. Maybe people make you nervous when they're staring at you. It might not be up here playing the guitar or trying to sing like I do, which I couldn't do today for my voice. But find out what God has given you. And once you figure out what that is, if you can't figure out how to use it for God, ask somebody. Ask your parents. Ask someone else that knows who God is and has a loving relationship with them, so that you can figure out how to use that for him. I can tell you honestly, when I use those gifts that I feel God has given me, I feel joy. In those moments when you give somebody a gift and they open it up and their jaws drop, you know that feeling when you've given somebody something that they really appreciate? That's the kind of joy that I have when I'm using God's gifts and abilities for his glory. I want you to experience that joy. I want you to listen to God's calling and have purpose in your life, because that purpose isn't just to be fulfilled in this building. You are to be a reflection of Jesus Christ every day of your life. Be filled with love. Give God your time and use your gifts and your talents and your abilities for his glory. That's the challenge. That's our daily walk with God. And I want to encourage you that you don't have to do it alone either. If you're a Christian, you've been baptized into his name. If you have parents that are Christians, they can help you with these things. I love you guys. I'm so happy to be here this morning. Thank you for sticking with me. Thank you for letting me use the gifts that God has given me to share with you. Because I'm not special, but God is. Amen? Would you pray with me? God, you truly are special. You were here before this world even began. God, before there was air, before there was light, before there was breath, before there was life, you were. And God, you had a plan from the beginning. You had a plan to create everything. You had a plan to create man and to create woman and to have a relationship, a friendship with them, with us. God, you had a plan when you sent Jesus Christ to this earth to be born as a baby, to forgive the world of their sins if only we put you first. God, so now that we know who Jesus is and what he's come to accomplish, we ask that we could use all that we have to give back to you, that we have these gifts that we can give to you. God, help us to love you first with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, to give you all that we have. And God, if we have that love for you, the same love that you have for us, we can have that love for others. God, we ask that you would help us to give you our time, to set time aside from our busy schedules and our busy lives and school and work and sports and hobbies, that we can put you first. And God, we ask that you would search our hearts. Help us to see the gifts and abilities you've given us so that we can reveal your glory to others. Thank you for the best gift ever, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We are going to have a brief period of invitation. So if you want to come and join the family of God, if you want to be baptized in Jesus Christ, we offer this moment. If not, reflect. Take some time to think about what you can give to Jesus today. Would you stand? Would you sing this song of invitation with me?